expensive baubles.
You are listening to the number one movie in America bonus episode, post-Oscars Rage Edition. I am Robin Hitchcock, and with me is Sean Collier.
Yeah, let's, you know, just a Monday morning, we can talk about Mortal Kombat's box office win. I'm inoculated tomorrow. Will I go to the movies? Thank you. Hey, maybe I'll go to the movies this week. Who knows? Could happen. Anything at all to not dwell on the only Oscars that left everyone just twitching,
Oh, Sean, they were so bad.
So many things to complain about. I propose we save the positivity for the end, because okay. There are positives. There are nice things.
I do have a few things I liked.
Yeah. And let's go out on that. And big picture first. This Oscars ceremony, I found an unpleasant mix of boring and frustrating. How
Correct.
About you?
No, it was dull as hell. And this is my favorite thing in the world, right? I love the Oscars so much. And it didn't feel like watching the Oscars. It felt like watching a corporate luncheon, like just a bunch of people being like, and good for you. But good for you for what? Like, truly, if you did not know what the Oscars were, would you be sure that this was about movies?
You would have, because of the bizarre, almost total lack of clips. I never knew I loved clips until last night when they were taken from me.
I had no idea how important clips are to the proceedings, but really they remind you what you're there for in a way that is really necessary.
If they had mixed it up more, I know there are 26 awards and yeah. You can only... come up with so many different ways to tell you who is competing for them. But, they came out into the screenplay things and Regina King kind of melded those into her monologue.
Yeah.
And said these nice things about how these writers started writing and what their backgrounds were. And if that had been the one time, great, but instead it was almost all the time. And 2.5 hours later, we're hearing, who worked in a movie theater when they were. And it's like, no, this was not an idea that could carry you through the show. I liked that there was no playoff music and people were given time to speak. I find that absolutely fine. The little hit from sometimes those people are boring is more than balanced out by... it makes it feel much more genuine and less like icky. That everyone gets their moment. And surprisingly, I did not miss the song performances. Maybe because none of them were good. Did you?
Well, I missed it in part because there was a surprise win, right? We all kind of assumed that the Hamilton guy would win and he didn't. And I genuinely don't know who did win. I'm like, which one was this?
It was her for the song from Judas and the Black Messiah.
Right, but what is that song?
Yeah,
there's no way of knowing.
there's three of those songs are virtually identical. But that was a surprise. I had that no higher than third on my ballot and probably fourth.
Yeah.
I don't know. The thing that the presenters really dragged it down for me,
yeah,
because they were given nothing. They were given this kind of vague task of praising the winners or praising the nominees. I walked away thinking, what we don't need is the presenters to say anything in the future. I think if they're famous enough, it can be, please welcome Harrison Ford. Hello. Thank you.
What's...
the nominees are.
Harrison Ford last night, I assume he was drunk or really tired.
I hope so.
Really stoned. I don't know. He definitely seemed off.
It's like drunkenly reading a list of criticisms from Blade Runner. And it's like, No, some of those stand up.
Those are accurate. That movie blows.
And he's talking about the original cut, which nobody liked. It's like, wait, those were valid. In fact, the entire history of this movie, where Ridley Scott re-edited it 17 times, validates most. Anyway, now we're into, if we're mad about that, we don't have time to be mad about all of the much more enraging things. So it was not a great show.
So, okay, let's, because we want to keep this tight because we have to go to work. What are, like, let's say your top five grievances?
Oh, great. We'll have the same number one, so I will save that. I don't know if I like want to lean into this objection or not, but they did Nomadland dirty in this show. Nomadland is not my favorite of the movies. It was not in my top 10 last year, but I liked it a lot. And more importantly, this was the second woman ever to win Best Director. And I would have to double check this. I saw it in passing on Twitter. One of fewer than 10 films in the history of the Oscars to win Best Picture with a fundamentally a woman's story, where the clear protagonist of the movie unambiguously was a female character. I saw someone say there were only 6 of those in history.
Let me think about it. Hang on. All right, so
yeah,
Terms of Endearment.
Did The English Patient win? I forget. And I don't.
It did. And it's not really a woman's story. The English Patient is Ralph Fiennes.
Oh, okay.
So I think I should watch that movie again. I really liked that movie because I love impossible love stories. It's my favorite plot. Oh, fuck. See, exactly. So like me, it's early to be fair, but me, super huge Oscars dork, is like, oh, I can think of one.
Right. And we'll get into why this probably happened later, but call it an unconscious bias if you don't want to just toss out an accusation of
Mrs.
straight
Miniver,
up misogyny.
I assume there is about Mrs. Miniver. I've never seen that one.
You had this, you know, and the second woman ever to win, you push that award to, you know, the nearly to the beginning of the show.
There is no fucking way that Best Director would have been in the first hour if it were not a presumed win for a woman.
Yes.
Steven Soderbergh just, and there are other producers, and I hate them too, but I don't know their names. Steven Soderbergh hates women.
Yeah, if Scorsese, you know, if The Irishman came out this year and the narrative were it's Scorsese against Fincher, that doesn't go there.
Exactly.
And I think if even a Parasite, but certainly if it were the Moonlight La La Land showdown, or if it were The Shape of Water might win, or Birdman might win, they don't pull that move and not give out Best Picture last.
Best Picture not last makes no sense.
It's awful.
It just makes no sense. I saw people saying that they did it because they thought that it would be so moving to end the show with Chadwick Boseman winning. But we still don't know if they would have let his widow speak.
I don't know that. And I don't truly know, in a way, I believe, if the producers of the Oscars get any advance warning on the winners.
I don't think they do.
I want to believe that. I'm not sure I do believe that. Because the conspiracy theory is they didn't do that because they didn't know and they thought that Chadwick would go last and it would be a great moment. They did that because they did know and knew that as soon as Chadwick lost, the night was over. And so they were like, well, don't ruin the moment for Frances and Nomadland by making the show go on after this tragedy.
Okay. That's interesting. There's really no way to save the show.
Like, well, yeah, we're in it now. I'm sure we'll get to other grievances.
Who was I kidding? Saying we should do this in an orderly fashion. Yeah, no, mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. you have my main grievances are no clips.
Yeah.
Putting Best Director in the first hour is disrespectful. And Chadwick Boseman lost. Did you watch Anthony Hopkins' acceptance video this morning?
Yes, it was.
He's such a class act. What a great guy.
He was great.
Poor.
It was classy with a heavy dose of I'm sorry.
Yes.
I had no part in this.
Right. All right. I guess if you want to make this mistake.
give me your top down high view take.
No, my take is that they were like trying to make it different, probably in part to like cover up the things that had to be different because it couldn't be a huge auditorium affair. And the changes that they made brought nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
Leading to this big one that one way or another blew up in their face.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, I could nitpick and find tiny things that I liked. Questlove was great.
The set is beautiful. Like they
that
did
was beautiful.
A really nice job. I thought that they did a pretty good job with cutting to the satellite locations.
Yeah, that was fine.
Seamlessly. And also, like, I love the opening credits feature.
Yeah, that was nice.
Regina King did a great job with her fake monologue. Mm-hmm. Like, she could host, right? Like, mm-hmm. They should have a host. This show should have a host. It should be a show. It is
not a movie. It is not a play. It is a TV show, as you said in the preview, and let it be a TV show. All of which leading to this glorious train wreck of an ending. Here's why I think that happened. Putting aside the why did it go last and end on that note.
Like, why did Anthony Hopkins win?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think there's two things to consider. And one is very expected. One is we know who still votes. The fact that there have been some big wins for non-white people and non-white movies does not mean that they've solved the problem. It just means that some years and some awards and some nominees, there has been enough modernization of the voting bloc to overcome that sometimes, but not always. When you're put in the academy, you're put in for life, and that means a whole lot of retirement age old Hollywood types are voting on this thing, thousands of them, in fact. And to those people, you know, however you want to brand this, whether it's implicit bias or familiarity bias or racism, feel free. they do not regard a performance like Chadwick's as worthy as a performance like Anthony Hopkins is. They don't regard a movie like Ma Rainey or The Five Bloods as worthy as a movie like The Father or Mank. That's the broad point, which I think is valid. Specifically, I think the Academy just didn't like Ma Rainey's Black Bottom that much.
It's fine. Like, I understand having problems. Like, I was not 100% on board with that movie because of its play-like qualities. Mm-hmm. But you can't not be on board with Chadwick Boseman's performance. Like, that is one of those, you know, like, I will die wondering if Heath Ledger would have even been nominated if he had not died. Chadwick Boseman would have been nominated and would have likely won.
Yeah.
If he were alive today for that great performance. Like, that was an incredible performance. And he died tragically. And we're all, like, so horribly mourning him. And mm-hmm. him winning an Oscar for one of his greatest performances would have felt really good. And it Anthony Hopkins has an Oscar already.
it would have been such a great there's so little you can do to truly put a salve on a loss like that. And right. This would have been that opportunity.
Right.
Yes, the performance should have won on its own merits. And certainly they shouldn't have screwed it up without that. I think that there's a certain callousness. And when you look and see that the movie wasn't nominated for Best Picture or Best Director, the screenplay wasn't nominated, Viola Davis didn't win. And the father was really, you know, for months I talked about Chicago 7 as the movie that was like regular people didn't care about all that much, but it seemed like the industry loved.
Yeah.
I think it turns out that was actually the father.
That's interesting.
I definitely didn't see the best, what did it win unexpectedly?
It won adapted screenplay, which...
Yeah. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
And that was the first moment where I was like, oh, it could win something big.
Okay.
So I get that they weren't that impressed. This is one of those, yeah, but how did you screw this up? It's not all, you know, voting in a vacuum.
I think some of it, though, comes... It's like Mark Rylance winning. It was like... I think everybody was like, well, Sly's going to win, and that's fine. But you know what my favorite was? I'm going to vote for Mark Rylance. And then enough people do that, and he wins. I think that is what happened with Anthony Hopkins.
As a voter, for
a major award, Sean, keep that in mind.
Yeah, I almost, when I vote, let's make this about me.
Yes.
When I vote, like, I'm absolutely keeping all of this shit in mind.
Yeah.
I learned this like year one. It was year one or two, and August Osage County had come out. And so it was Meryl versus some people. And I was like, well, wait, I have to vote for Meryl because like she gave the best performance because it's Meryl Streep. Like, I don't want to, but I have, it's
the name of the category is Best Actress.
Right. And then after that, I was like, oh no, never mind. That's no way to do it because we're not telling you who finished first at the 400 meter dash. We're telling you, you know, what we want to honor. You're choosing right. what you want to honor. And that's where it's bizarre.
Yeah.
That there are a lot of people that didn't want to honor Chadwick Boseman for this performance. You could have honored him for something else. I didn't go back and look at like who won when he was Jackie Robinson or who won where he was Thurgood Marshall or even T'Challa, like why the fuck not?
Yeah.
But you didn't honor him in life. You have the opportunity. Why wouldn't you take that?
I agree. Additional grievance, Adam Schlesinger, songwriter of That Thing You Do, not in the Necrology.
Which also
was like lightning paced.
They had the weird
Halvin. Boom, some cinematographer you've never heard of. Boom, DMX.
I was glad DMX made it.
Me too.
Snuck in at the under the wire. I saw someone saying, hey, if they had done this slowly, we would have been there for 14 minutes or tons of people would have been left off because of COVID. But fine.
Yeah. No, they're wrong.
Yeah.
And
the sound you just made, the sound of the Oscars 2021 is
so much of what is wrong with the Oscars comes from trying to make the show short. No one cares. Okay, everybody who likes the Oscars will watch them for 4 hours.
Yep.
Everyone who does not like the Oscars is not going to watch them.
Right. It's the bizarre, like, we need to make a broad appeal and we need to get people in. Look, the ship has sailed and it's never coming back because this was the year. And look, I know that Nomadland and The Father and Trial of the Chicago 7 aren't the sexy, you know, eyeball draws that you want. But on the other hand, most people were home and these movies were all free on streaming right. services they already had. And it doesn't seem like that many people have seen them.
Correct.
You are never going to compel casual viewers to watch a Nomadland because it's an Oscar nominee, nor are you going to compel someone who hasn't seen Nomadland to care about it on the night. Give us the show for the people like us who don't care how long it takes. I agree. and Adam Schlesinger should have been in there. I will say it's not a Joan Rivers level omission. but
that thing you know, do that is thing the greatest movie song of all time.
So perfect.
Tragically did not win the Oscar. Lost to You Must Love Me from Evita.
I mean, Andrew Lloyd Webber, he gets awards. Let's very briefly react to some of the big awards.
Okay.
And find good things to say about this list. Nomadland won. Sure. I'm glad that Chicago 7 didn't win. Mank or The Father didn't win. You know, would I have been happier with a surprise from something like Minari or Promising Young Woman? Yeah, but this clearly wasn't the night for those. So great. Frances McDormand has won two Oscars on the same night because she was a producer. And so did Chloe Zhao. Cool. Yeah, Chloe Zhao and Frances both have two Oscars that they didn't have yesterday. So fine.
Frances has a whole shelf of them.
Yeah, she's
and
she's
called
sick.
It, by and the way. Called it.
Congratulations. That could have been the shock of the night, again, with a lot of, you know, momentum behind several of the other nominees, turning Frances McDormand into one of the most honored performers of all time.
Right, there's only three actors who have three or more lead Oscars. It's her, Daniel Day-Lewis, and Katharine Hepburn, who is now going to start haunting Frances McDormand to force her to retire the way she did Daniel Day-Lewis.
I'm happy she won, even if it's not my pick, because how can you not be happy for her every time?
She's a delight.
Yeah, I'm thrilled with Chloe Zhao winning. It was a great moment and a great speech. And her sneakers and her purse that had practical items in it.
She's so
great. Yeah, and she's going to be one of those people that's an A-list director now.
Yeah.
Wonderful. This guy, Anthony Hopkins, won Best Actor. One more minute. Okay. We've barely talked about The Father, both on this podcast and in the world.
I liked it.
I like it. I think, here's my question. With these five nominees, free of all context, can you argue that that was the best performance?
No. No.
I don't think I quite can.
I think that's the one I would knock off the nominees list for Delroy Lindo or Mads Mikkelsen. Like,
I don't think that. I mean, I think it's a clear number two.
Okay. I don't know. A lot of that performance is, maybe I'm being unfair because I really did like that movie, and that movie would not have worked without a strong performance. But
yeah. I think I said to somebody last night, well, Riz Ahmed was better than Anthony Hopkins. I don't know that that's true.
Riz Ahmed
was great. It's very, I mean, he was great and the movie is good. That's the best thing I can say about, if I ignore all other facts, I can say that. Gary Oldman's the one I would have knocked off.
I forgot Gary Oldman was even nominated. So yeah, obviously Gary Oldman goes.
So a big shame there. Daniel Kaluuya and Yoo Jung-yeon, both great, wonderful.
Yeah. I feel like Daniel Kaluuya maybe could have gotten played off. the letting the accepted speeches go as long as they wanted to, sometimes it would be better if they weren't.
Yeah. But that moment, the best delayed digital reaction I have ever seen, because it gave us him saying my mom and dad had sex. Incredible.
Like, it's incredible. My mom met my dad. They had sex. It's amazing. Like, do you know what I'm saying? I'm here.
And then it cut to them, which included, I think, the only time in the night that it showed a picture from a satellite location and said Daniel's mom and sister.
Oh yeah.
That was the only time I saw that caption on some people. And so it cut back to them and she just had her same pleased face. And you got the 1 second of, she's on a delay. She's about to hear him say the sex thing. Oh, that, what a rare moment of joy in a joyless evening. I guess I'm happiest about Best Director and about Emerald Fennell winning Best Original Screenplay.
I was very surprised that Emerald Fennell won. Like I said many times, I thought Promising Young Woman was too polarizing to win anything. So winning a major award is very exciting. I thought her acceptance speech was lovely. Colin was like, wow, she really did not write a speech.
Yeah, neither did her.
And she looked gorgeous.
Yeah, that set me up for more joy than I was in for.
Yeah.
Over the course of the evening. Closing thoughts other than
I was gonna say, let's wrap this up. I don't have much to say.
Don't do that again.
Yes. Please bring back the real Oscars, please.
I don't have impossible trivia. I'm looking up
a I guess your impossible trivia was, what are the best picture winners that are about women? Because there are hardly any.
This feels impossible if you haven't read it. What won the most Oscars last night? Right? It was so weird and spread out that we don't.
I have no idea. It's not Nomadland, is it?
It's Nomadland.
Oh, okay.
What
did
three.
That win other than director and picture? Oh, an actress.
Actress. The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Ma Rainey, Manx, Soul, and Sound of Metal each got two.
Huh.
So a Spreading the Love one. Normally I like a Spreading the Love one. And at least a lot of these things got, you know, the best editing for Sound of Metal was a very pleasant surprise for me. Because that is not the kind of, like, that is the kind of editing that should win, and it is not the kind of editing that does win. I actually do have two trivia questions, and these are courtesy of my friend Sean Israel.
Oh,
he's
come
up, he's come up before. He's a longtime radio DJ who is a font of pop culture knowledge. He's the guy who can ask you your birth date and tell you what the number one song is.
Yeah.
And you can usually find him in the ticket booth at Riverside Drive-In as well. And every year he drops Oscar trivia. Consider this not fact-checked, but he is an expert, so I'm assuming it is all correct. Name the Pittsburgh connection that does not involve Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which was filmed here, and Frances McDormand, who is from Manessen. There's another one.
I don't know.
Production designer Jan Pascal is not just from near here. She's from the city of Pittsburgh. She is a Beachview native. She won for Mank.
Great.
Good for her. And finally, this I legitimately like. Okay, I'll sneak in one I don't like. Name the superlative that Anthony Hopkins now has.
Oldest male best actor.
He's the oldest acting winner, period. At 83, he is the oldest winner of an acting
career. Hold the phone. Jessica Tandy was 89 when she won, I thought.
Oh, then it must be males. It must be about among the men's.
I might have that wrong. Hang on.
I mean, it's your Oscar knowledge versus a thing I think I remember.
I am wrong.
You're wrong.
Yes.
How old was Jessica Tandy?
She was only 80. Only 80. Yes.
Anthony Hopkins, now the oldest actor to receive an Oscar.
Wow.
Hey, remember that narrative about how old men win Best Actor every year? Still true. Still
true.
Very true. But here's the nice one. What is the superlative that we can now say is Frances McDormand's alone? She is the only what?
What I'm thinking of is Tortured, but she's all the movies that she's won for were also nominated for Best Picture.
No, this is specific to Nomadland.
Oh, I don't know.
She is the first person ever to win Oscars for acting and producing the same movie.
Oh!
As a Best Actress winner who was a credited producer on the film. She has a production Oscar for Nomadland and an acting Oscar. That has never happened before.
I can't believe that's never happened.
And she is only the fourth person to have an acting Oscar and a producing Oscar, along with Michael Douglas, George Clooney, and Brad Pitt.
I could have gotten that, by the way, if you asked. That's terrific.
Too much trivia in a podcast that's fundamentally about being mad.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Yeah. I'm literally going to do the quickest pass of an edit on this to make sure that you can hear our voices and cut out that part in the middle. And put this up because there's a delay in our freaky episode, which will hit sometime later this week. And then we will be back with The Craft. So
Glenn Close nailed that trivia skit.
That was cute. That was very cute. Yeah. That was one of the good parts. Mm-hmm. There were a couple good parts. Regina King's dress was great.